And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice, Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Maui Jim Sunglasses, the choice of the best captains. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray and rock god Rick Maxa.
Welcome back. Hour number two. Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. Pete Gray here with rock god Rick Maxa. We're having a great show here with our buddies Brandon Hayward from the Bite Journal and One Man Charters and Scott Hewlett, who is the editor of the Surfers Journal, but also has a little piece of the Bite thing there, writes articles and kind of helps Brandon along, right?
Consult.
Oh, there
you go.
Nice.
Yes. The
nice.
Consultant after Brandon's, you have a few more years in the journalism world, right?
Do I? Yeah. I should hope so. Yeah, I think I've got a good 10 in me. You know, I'll never stop writing and editing. It's just not something you stop. It's not a traditional career path that you sort of kick out of with a gold watch when you turn 65.
Yeah.
I'll have a hand in it. And the fishing thing is really ramping up for me. I'm having so much fun.
That's
cool.
Yeah. That's
cool.
Really neat.
Yeah.
How did you start with journalism? Did you just start writing for surfing?
No, I was in the writing program at UCSD, and I'd always been a book hound since a kid. My mom taught me to read very, very early. I always say my mom taught me how to read, and my dad taught me what to read.
Okay.
And then I took that on and followed writing and got into the, you know, via the surfing game, kind of merged writing and surfing, my two passions, and that's been 23 years now. God, I can't even believe I'm saying that.
Wow.
And the Bite deal's been going, it's been a couple of years now, and moving on. I had my best year of fishing ever, thanks to the people I've met and interacted with.
Sure.
I quickly find out it's the guy in the pilot house that catches fish, not the guy with the rod in his hands. So I'm learning from that and having a great time.
Asking questions.
Enough to drive anyone batty.
Yeah, okay. But that's the way you learn,
yeah,
right?
Totally.
I try not to be that guy who's just constantly quizzing and repeating questions. But
When he asks questions, it's a good one, and Hewlett's progressed really far in his fishing. Like, he's a good fisherman now, you know.
Yeah.
And what he has going for him, he's not stubborn, and he's got an open mind, and he doesn't create these, like, weird, funky rules. Like, I caught a yellowtail on this. I'm always going to use this.
Right.
He's not, like, locked down tight with anything. So that's, like, a huge thing with getting good at fishing, I think.
And he listens.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. I tell you what, though. The thing I'm really keen on learning and developing is surface iron game. That, to me, is just the coolest thing. I've had the most thrilling fishing experiences, you know, chasing bird schools and trying to keep your head together and not get
tilt
buck fever and tilt out and
totally.
Bird's nest.
That's the hardest part of surface iron fishing, right there.
But getting hit on the wind on the surface, we were down in Punta Lobos off Sonora last spring, and we got into a bird school and a bunch of krill with whales hitting it, and it was so dynamic and exciting that's if I could pick one little subgenre of fishing I really want to develop, it's surface iron.
Coolest thing in the world, period. Yeah, like, yes. I think, and it's, you know, it's good because when you kind of just in conversation quiz, like the guys that have, you know, as far as a fisherman, the dream job, the Tim Ekstroms and the long range guys, and you say, you know, what's the coolest thing? And I would say better than 80% of them all say, I'd rather catch a yellowtail on a surface iron than any fish again for the rest of my life ever, period.
What about a white sea bass on a surface iron? That can happen, huh?
Yeah, I've only caught a couple, but it can, you know, proper, like casting, retrieving. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that can happen, especially years like this with a lot of fin bait.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doing what you're about to go do can be the only segment that etches out a yellowtail, and that's Wahoo on the surface.
Wahoo on the surface.
Yeah, I'd take that. Yeah. If I could have one or the other, I would take that one.
Yeah. It's just the same, just the cool, the same jig, the same iron, but the bites can just be, like, out of this world. Like, you have no voice left afterwards from screaming at your buddy, did you see that thing, you know, rocketing out of the water with the jig T-bone in the mouth? Just epicness. So rad.
So I've been having shoulder issues and been going to physical therapy, and the physical therapist told me, don't overhand cast.
Well, don't tell
him. I just was like, Yeah.
Sorry, bro.
Sorry.
Lob master for 11 days.
Yeah, right? I'll just have to come back for more physical therapy.
Just go ahead and schedule me for doubles when I get back.
Hey, we're having a great show here. Lines are packed, but giving away a great prize. Right?
Well, you're not kidding. And such a cool thing for Brandon to do, for everybody out there, for this opportunity. So one lucky caller, if you didn't catch the beginning of the show, is going to win a very, very cool prize. And that's a lifetime subscription to the Byte Journal. And very, very cool. You're going to get in on all the great stuff we've been talking about all morning. Just such a unique...
A lifetime subscription.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. And you can't buy it. No. It's not available.
And such a unique publication, too. It's just, it's a really cool one. It's something that's going to be around, and you keep it around. It's a cool, just a very cool thing. We're really stoked. And if you want your opportunity, such a rad prize, there's two ways that you can do that. Again, our local line, which is 858-457-1090, or toll-free at 877-792-1090. That's your shot.
You betcha. Absolutely. We've talked about it all morning already. Big event a week from today is Day at the Docks. We have Catherine Miller on the line. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning, all.
What's up, Catherine?
Hello.
It's a big event.
We're getting ready.
Yes, indeed. It's going to be fun. It's going to start off with the live broadcast, the Let's Talk Hookup, right in front of Fisherman's Landing Tackle, and then a lot of vendors, a lot of things going on. Why don't you give us a little we could take hours talking about it, but why don't you give us a little kind of a little dose of it there.
Well, Brandon's going to be there actually giving a seminar at 11 o'clock on the main stage for one.
Yes.
Looking forward to that. And we've got a big lineup of seminars happening throughout the day. Lots of vendors, as you said. Lots of boats will be available for walk-on open house throughout the fleet. And, you know, it's just we're gearing up.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun times, and kind of the annual sport fishing festival, the celebration of sport fishing, right?
Yeah, it's our 36th year.
36th year.
That's cool.
Begins at 9 a.m., runs till 5, absolutely free. If anyone's been down at the landings lately, they know they've seen the construction going on. So don't worry about parking. You can park on Shelter Island. Oh, we're running the shuttles early, beginning at 6:30 in the morning, and it'll be running all day, so... Listeners can come down and you find a place to park. We'll get them back and forth to their cars without an issue.
So the parking will be at Shelter Island. Where are you going to park on Shelter Island?
There's a whole parking area right there along the waterfront.
Okay, and the shuttle will be running all up and down the whole Shelter Island?
There'll be shuttle stops identified throughout the island.
Throughout the island.
That's
so we live down there. We work down there. We live down there. We talked about it yesterday, Rick and I. Trust us. Don't even bother coming around Harbor Drive. Just go straight to Shelter Island.
Grab the shuttle. It's free. It's easy. I'm with Catherine. I would just go right to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And once the construction's done on Harbor Drive, it's going to be cool.
It's going to be nice.
But
absolutely.
Right now, you want to avoid that area. So just go straight to Shelter Island.
So we're looking forward to the day. Wendy Toshihara and John Cassidy are going to MC from the stage again. We're looking forward to that.
Fantastic.
Your show, of course, has become a tradition to start the morning off. So we're looking forward to seeing you down there.
All right.
Can't wait,
so
Catherine.
Everything starts, of course, 7 a.m. With the live broadcast of Let's Talk Hookup, and the actual festival starts 9 a.m. Is that right?
That's right.
All right. And shuttles continuously running starting at 6:30 a.m. from Shelter Island.
And now the more information is available on the website at sportsfishing.org.
All right. Thanks, Catherine. We'll see you down there.
Thank you very much.
Stay at the docks 1 week from today. There you go. Ken from Ken's Custom Reels. Good morning, Ken.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
What's up,
hey,
Ken?
Great.
Hey, Brandon. Beautiful book. I got a whole stack of them right here. I've been leafing through it as you guys talk on the show. It's an incredible. You got to get one of these things because it's beautiful.
That means a lot coming from you. Thanks.
Well, you said it best when you were describing. Somebody said, "Well, what is the Byte?" I heard you make a statement because we were in the booth next to each other at Del Mar.
Okay.
Somebody said, what's the Byte?
Had I had two Sculpin grapefruit IPAs?
Probably.
Yes. So. Yeah. we usually just say it's a blend between a book and a magazine.
Yep.
So, because a lot of people say, like, is it a magazine? Is it a book? It's real heavy and everything. So it's kind of the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you gotta, if you take a look at one through the first two pages, you're going to want it.
Yeah.
So just check it out. It's a beautiful publication. Hey, real quick, you guys, I know you people in San Diego think you can catch a halibut and all that. Next weekend, before Day at the Docks, come on up to Oceanside. We have the 19th annual Oceanside Anglers Halibut Derby. I don't know if Rick can get up here. I know Pete's going to be fishing in my favorite place in the world.
Rick's going to be working the show. He'll be down. He'll be in the studio here next Saturday with Captain Tim Ekstrom because he won't be running the boat.
That's true.
But the tournament, you can still run up and kick.
Come up afterwards.
Yeah, come on, Rick.
Yeah,
I know.
It's a great tournament. Anyway, you guys have a lot of fun up there. It's really a fun group.
Yeah, it's a pretty big deal, and you get a chance to win, around $5,000 for that first place fish. So,
yeehaw.
Yeah, it's a really, really cool event, too, and the guys do such a good job putting it on up there. Really cool people, and it's been around for a long time, a lot of history, and always, it doesn't seem to matter how good or not halibut fishing is. If you're going to win that tournament, you there's big fish every single year.
So how do we get in it, Ken?
You can go to, we have the tournament forms here at the shop. The sign-up is over at 7 o'clock on Friday night, or you can go to Oceanside Anglers Club, their website, and take care of it there.
There you go. All right. Now, you're going to be jumping on one of those spots left on the American Angler in May, I would think.
I wish Brian hadn't called me. we gotta stay here. We're still, the show is just absolutely buried. So we got a little bit of work to do for a while. So unfortunately, I can't make that. But
we'll have a great time with the halibut tournament, and we'll look forward to the results following week.
Hey, thanks, guys.
See you, Ken.
Right, thanks, Ken. Appreciate that very much. Phones are packed. They want to talk to Brandon and Scott. Let's jump into it.
You got it. How about we talk to Mike this morning, who's calling us from Rosemead. Mike, thanks for hanging in there with us. Very patient. Morning, Mike.
Good morning. Thank you. Brandon, I know when you're fishing squid, you have to wait for that bite. It's kind of like a peck, 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 and you've got to let the rod load up, and then you wind down on the fish. But when you're fishing the mackerel, especially the larger ones, how would you wait for that bite, and do you normally just wind down on that also, or can you? And then how would you hook the mackerel? Thank you.
Okay, so if I have stuff in the rod holders, I just fish everything in gear. I don't know if that's the best technique for everyone, but I've just come to find that like if you're in clicker in the rod holder, like a lot of bad things happen between like the buck fever and the picking the rod out of the holder and everything. And those sea bass, man, they have a mouth like a 3-gallon bucket, and they're pretty much engulfing that thing. So if I'm rod holdering it, I'm just fishing it in gear with the mackerel. Same with the squid. Neither one's 100%, but I think the rod holder is the lesser of the two evils. If it's fly line fishing or you have the jig and the mackerel and it's in your hand, that whole thing, I just fish it by feel like I fish everything. So I'm not counting or anything. Just I let them eat it when they're pulling line off and it feels like it's a steady run and they got it, I pop them. It's probably like 3 or 4 seconds for a mackerel, something like that. And the way I hook my mackerel is I'm a big fan of treble hooks if it's sea bass fishing, butt hooking them if it's fly line. But if I'm using some weight, like the one I got a couple weeks ago was on a 1.5-ounce slider, I put the hook up through the roof of the mouth and not crosswise through the nose. Reason being is when you go crosswise through the nose, the hook loves to kind of like double back, if you will, and hook itself in the gill or in the head, or just weird things happen. If you go straight up through the roof, especially with that jig and mackerel or just with the big 6070J hook, it's just kind of impaled, stuck there, and less bad things can happen.
And the hook up, hook
up,
tip up.
Just through the roof.
And the slider right down on the hook.
Yep.
How big of a slider?
Oh, I use something pretty heavy for mackerel, whereas it's weird. For squid, I go as light as possible. For mackerel, I use like 1.5 ounces, 2 ounces, just because you want it to get down.
Yeah.
You want it to get deep. You want to kind of control the bait and keep it in whatever water column.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's my deal there.
All right. There you go. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
All right. Hey, with that, it's time to find out what's going on the water. We got the man, your saltwater guide, Captain Dave Hansen, standing by. And that's your report today, sponsored in part by Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. Get the finest fish processing while you wait from your local, your long range, or your private boat trip. They have taken the San Diego processing business to all new levels with superior service, superior product, and innovations like pre-booking your processing orders and those great new tuna burgers. Find them on Facebook at Fisherman's Processing, or for more details, check fishermansprocessing.com. Let's talk to the man. Dave Hansen's got that fishdope.com report. What's up, Dave?
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, good morning.
Dave.
Hey, guys. Dana Point has anchovies, and if anybody's ever fished with me before, you know that's my favorite bait. Yesterday we took advantage of it. They have anchovies and sardines mixed. The sardines are that smaller size, the 4 or 5 inch. And then the anchovies, you get out there on the edge of the kelp and chum like crazy, and then fly line a sardine, and it's about as good a bass fishing as it could possibly be right now. We were fishing up in South Laguna yesterday, right on the edge of the closure, and it was phenomenal bass fishing. Took home some beautiful bass and had them for dinner last night. San Clemente Island, guys, still kicking out phenomenal yellowtail fishing. It's about as good as it can get. If you look at the fish counts, there was about 700 yellowtail caught yesterday between all the landings, and most of that fish came out of Clemente. Really good yellowtail fishing out there at Clemente. We had a huge wind event this week, and it kind of dropped that water temperature down a little bit and kind of turned it green on that offshore deal. So I know there was 4 or 5 boats out that I know of looking for kelps this week after that wind event, and just wasn't holding. I don't think the fish left. I just think that that wind event dumped that water down a little bit. Fish are just kind of scattered out looking for the cleaner water. We get this weather stay like this, like it's going to for the next few days. I think that water will clean back up again, and you guys will find that yellowtail offshore again. That's my tip for this week, guys, and I will talk to you next weekend.
You keep eating those bass, you're going to turn into one, you know?
He is part bass.
Yeah.
That's why I get some.
Well, that's my favorite fish to eat by far.
Checker bass. Really? I didn't know that. Did you know that, Brandon?
I knew it well.
You knew well. Well, you know, Dave always has the good stuff, whether he eats bass or not, on fishdope.com. And it's always good stuff because he goes out and goes fishing all the time and then reports. He doesn't hide it. He's not shy. Not shy at all.
I wouldn't say anybody has ever accused Dave of being shy. No,
yeah.
You're right on that.
And he brings it out. He tells it. He tells all the good stuff. And it is on fishdope.com every day. Danny works with Dave along with other great anglers and gives you the real deal reports. And if you want to save $20 on a new membership at fishdope.com, it's easy. Just go to the code box, type in hookup 1090, all lowercase, no space, hookup 1090. You get $20 off a membership, an annual membership, which you have to have right now to fishdope.com. And how do we get a hold of you, Dave?
Guys, if you want me to come with you on your boat and show you how I do it and how we use all those electronics that you spend all that money on, give me a call at 949-374-0786 or look me up on the web at yoursaltwaterguide.com. Brandon, when I call you for information, answer the phone.
Try me in October.
You read it on fishdope.com, Dave.
What?
It'll be on fishdope.com.
No, it won't.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dave.
We'll talk to you next Sunday. Oh, one of a kind. Isn't it?
That's so good.
Thank God. Thank God. Thanks, Dave. Well, the phones are absolutely packed up. I know everybody's excited to talk to Brandon. Why don't we jump back into the phones and talk to Bob, who's calling us from Newport this morning. What's up, Bob? Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Thank you, Rick. Hey, good morning, Pete, Rick, Brandon, and Scott.
Come on, Bob.
Hey. What's up, Bob?
Hey, howdy. Carolyn and I happened to have the good fortune of being at Rancho Lanonero and got to meet Brandon and Scott when they were doing the Pangaro article.
Sweet. Awesome. Nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember you clearly, of course.
Yeah. And that's kind of fun because John Allen came on the line when I was waiting, and so it was like old home week. But and John and Jennifer were there, and Jack Nielsen was there, and we got to meet Alonzo, so it was a monumental trip.
Wow, but what a great time.
Yeah, we had a great time. Yeah.
Neat.
You had mentioned a couple of things, but I don't think anybody knows what a celebrity Brandon is in Mexico.
I didn't know either.
Well, you will. You'll remember.
Right.
You'll remember. I was drinking Cokes, by the way, in the bar, and I noticed that, I don't know if they do it here, but Brandon's name was on the side of the Coke can. And so I gave Brandon one of those Coke cans that I had, and but I never got paid for it, by the way. But when we were there, you talked about those guys consulting or Scott consulting with Brandon. We noticed that they were really in intense conversations. So they were really working hard when we were down there. I thought it was very interesting.
Nice.
Because they
work it hard.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know, you know what's cool too, Bob, is one of the places that I just love to go, and I know we all do, is Rancho Lanero. And every time I go there, I go, wow, I wish I could spend more time down
there,
right?
That
kind of place, right?
No kidding.
Absolutely.
The thing I dig so much about going to the ranch is, like, it takes you about 20 minutes to get completely slowed down mm-hmm. to Baja pace. Like, as soon as you land and you make the proverbial stop at the first door and you grab a couple Pacificos and you make the trek over, and, like, instantly you're slowed down to the raddest, most mellow pace. It takes you, like, 4 days on the back end to get back to your pace of being at home, but it takes you about 20 minutes to get to the pace.
And
of,
it's so easy to get to.
It's the best.
Yeah.
It's amazing. People pay $200 an hour for a massage, and you give me 2 minutes of washboard, and I'm all good.
Yeah, right?
Perfect. Hey, Bob, nice to hear from you. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More of your phone calls, more great stuff. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
Jensen with the Sport Fishing Financial Group. I wanted to let you know that I'll be at Day of the Dock Sunday, April 19th, to meet and talk to you about getting aboard one of our six-pack charters. I've been working in the financial industry for over 25 years and my family fishing our local waters for four generations. We're poised to have a banner fishing season, and spending time aboard one of our fully outfitted offshore suites is great. So stop by my booth at Day of the Docks and see how I can improve the service of your personal or business finances and become part of the Sport Fishing Financial Group. Give us a call at 949-481-1807 or check us out on the web at sportfishingfinancialgroup.com.
Tell you what, the fish are always biting at one place, and that is Point Loma Seafood. Yesterday was down there with Lolly looking at that beautiful case of fish, and I selected for dinner last night black sea bass.
Oh,
it's the forbidden fruit in California, but you can get it a lot of times. And oh my gosh, Lolly did it up with a nice lemon caper butter sauce.
Perfect.
That stuff is so good. And that's just an example. They had fresh swordfish there. They had fresh troll-caught king salmon.
Butter.
Right there. Mm. And the other thing, little appetizer beforehand, one of those fresh, live Dungeness crabs. They cook them for you. They clean them and crack them for you. You take it home. Oh, man, nothing better than fresh Dungeness crab.
Sounds
black
good.
Sea bass. That's just an example of some of the stuff you can get at Point Loma Seafoods, always the freshest thing in town. Always just, which one do I want today? Check it out, Point Loma Seafoods, right next to the San Diego Landings in Point Loma.
You've made the investment in a boat, and you know how important it is to take good care of it. That's why you need Monsoon Yacht Service. Mark and his staff specialize in taking care of your boat and making it look its best. No matter if it's on a trailer or in a slip, let Monsoon Yacht Service clean and polish your boat to make it look like new. Monsoon Yacht Service also does fiberglass and gel coat repair, custom rigging, and the best detailing you have ever seen. Be proud of your boat again with the help of Monsoon Yacht Service. 619-405-2176 or check monsoonyachtservice.com.
This is Greg Stotespray from AFCO. For over 20 years, AFCO has been known for its traditional fishing shorts. We now will also be known for our new line of next-generation fishing and board shorts. Our new M82 tactical fishing shorts feature quick-dry, high-tech, two-way stretch fabric, zipper fly, six functional pockets plus pliers pocket, sublimated camo print, and our DWR finish so your shorts don't get stained. Also new to the AFCO line are the M25 Stingray board shorts. The Stingray board shorts feature new, quick-dry, four-way mind stretch fabric, modern zipper fly, two technical high-cargo pockets with inverted zippers, silicone-printed draw cords, along with our DWR finish to repel stains. Both shorts are new to the AFCO line and come in a variety of colors and sizes. These technically advanced fishing and board shorts continue AFCO's long tradition of providing the world's finest fishing and board shorts. Check them out today at better shops everywhere.
Meet the innovation award-winning Yamaha V6 offshore 4-strokes at 300, 250, and 225 horsepower. These predators are up to 73 pounds lighter than the competition. And with class-leading 4.2-liter displacement, they're up to 19% faster and up to 17% more fuel efficient at cruise RPM than comparable 4-strokes. And now they're available with Hellmaster, Yamaha's fully integrated boat control system. Meet the next generation of Yamaha V6 offshore 4-strokes today at your local Yamaha dealer. Hellmaster available with V6 is purchased only as part of new boat packages from boat builder partners.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
All right, it's Halibut Derby season. We heard from Ken about the Oceanside Halibut Derby, another big Halibut Derby happening, too, up in Marine Del Rey, the Marine Del Rey Halibut Derby. Mike's on the line to tell us about it. Good morning, Mike.
Yeah, this is John Shimura, actually.
Oh, hi, John.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, thanks for joining us this morning. Tell us about the Derby.
Good, good. Yeah, so for those that don't know, the Halibut Derby is the Marina Del Rey Anglers' big fundraising event. Helps fund our youth fishing program, where we take about 500 to 700 kids fishing per year, and also helps support our white sea bass grow out program, where we're one of the hatchery grow out program facilities, and we raise white sea bass, and the Derby goes to help funding those two great programs. So the Derby is going to be held next weekend, Saturday and Sunday, April 18th and 19th, and it is a family event, and we got some great prizes lined up for you guys. And yeah, it should be a fun time out on the water.
One of the oldest running halibut derbies around, right?
That's right. That's right. So we're in our 40th year of doing it. And from my understanding, we are one of the oldest on the West Coast. That is correct.
And, of course, Santa Monica Bay right there outside Marina Del Rey Breakwater there, one of the great spots to catch big halibut, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. You don't need to burn that much gas at all. A lot of the guys that enter in on their kayaks actually do better than most of the motorboat guys. And, we got plenty of halibut. I mean, you don't even have to leave the marina to hook up into them. So, yeah, absolutely good fishing.
So how do we get in it if we want to go fishing in the Marina Del Rey Halibut Derby?
Yeah. So a couple different ways. One, if you want to just sign up online, you can go to www.halibutderby.com. And follow the registration link there. Pretty self-explanatory, and you can sign up using a credit card. Or we are doing in-person sign-ups this coming Thursday and Friday over at Burton Chase Park in Marina Del Rey. And we will be set up from about 5 to 9 p.m. each evening. And I definitely encourage, whether you decide to fish the Derby or not, come out on Thursday for our seminar, where we're actually going to have Dick Schaefer of Purefields Tackle and previous commercial angler and just all-around stalwart of fishing community here give his tips on fishing for halibut. So even if you aren't entering, it's a good time to show up and get some good knowledge on the local waters here.
No doubt about it. Dick knows his stuff when it comes to halibut fishing, and really could be a good seminar there. Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate it, John, very much, and really great because you take a lot of kids fishing. It really benefits those kids out there. So good luck with the Halibut Derby next Saturday and Sunday, Marina Del Rey Halibut Derby. Check it out. Appreciate the call this morning.
All right, well, let's jump into those jam-packed phone calls. We're going to go down to San Diego, talk to John this morning. Good morning, John. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, guys.
Hi, John.
Hi, John.
Brandon, I wanted to ask you, fishing the northwest La Jolla area, what kind of current direction are you looking for? And in general terms, would you prefer the morning time or the afternoon, evening time?
Time, it's going to depend on just so many different factors, what you're fishing for and everything. In terms of current, if you're anchoring up, anything that's running in towards the point is good, because otherwise your lines are just kind of... The thing you got going for you in La Jolla is it's not like... kind of like the patch reefs and shallow water stuff from there to call it Dana Point, which is a lot of stuff that I fish. So even if you're kind of like out to sea, your lines are still running into hard bottom and stuff, whereas kind of that shallower water stuff that I fish a lot of, you're just sitting in sand and you're kind of pooched. So if you can have current running in towards the kelp and the point, you're golden there, in a nutshell.
Go.
Great, thanks.
All right. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. That does free up for the first time this morning. 858-457-1090. Oh, filled up real quick.
Yeah, just like that. Next, we're going to talk to Alan. Alan's calling us from Mission Bay this morning. Hi, Alan. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rick. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
What's up, Alan?
Show.
Thank you.
This is Scott and Brandon. This is kind of a random question. If you haven't already done it, I would be fascinated with your photojournalistic perspective on that gigantic flotsam island that's coming from Japan into the Eastern Pacific. I've heard there's quite an ecosystem underneath it, and there's probably a ton of fish.
Yeah, that's interesting. I know it's been documented like wild, primarily online. It's quite a massive.
How far away is it?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not up to speed on it right now, but there have been, you know, deep investigations. I think I might be speaking sideways, but somebody from the Getty Foundation, I think, forged a big expedition to go sort of float on top of it. But I've heard reports that it's the size of Texas, et cetera, and it's beaded up plastic that's sort of vortexed together into a giant. a giant mass. I haven't heard anything about biomass living under it. That would be sort of ironic. But, yeah, I'm not really qualified to talk about it. But I would say as far as seeing that in the bite, probably unlikely. It's such a science play, and I think it's been handled by people far more qualified than either Brandon or I are. Scientifically.
Unless some sort of surprising fishery popped up under it.
Sure.
You know.
Sure.
All-time kilt patty.
Sure. Yeah,
but it is interesting indeed.
I was looking at it more from just the fisherman's perspective that there might be some fish living under it just because it's got shade. Who knows?
Who knows?
It wouldn't be the scientific approach. It would be the guess what's under this thing.
Yeah, I understand. I think you'd better dart up there and report back to us. It sounds good.
All right. Alan, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. What are the feel pieces that you guys are looking for the bite? I mean, what kind of qualifies? It's not the daily news or, you know, stuff you'd find in Western Outdoor News or anything like that. It's different stuff, right?
Yeah. Take it, Hewlett. Take
oh,
it.
Well, yeah. We're just looking for, the currency of any really good magazine is the element of surprise. If you get a publication in the mail and you already know exactly what you're going to find when you crack the cover, the editors aren't doing a good job. So we're definitely looking to go farther afield and go to places you haven't seen before or sort of render a place you think you know in a new and interesting manner. And there are so many possibilities that we could literally be a weekly. I hit Brandon late at night, a good five nights a week, maybe more. It's a
How
habit
late,
of mine.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a bit of a night owl. And I have all sorts of ideas for places to go and things to do and little subsets of the fishing experience that I haven't seen, and I look hard. So
I'll tell you one thing as a reader that I've really enjoyed in the first two was you guys doing a fairly in-depth and not the regular interview with somebody from the fishing industry that's always that the non, you know, boisterous, kind of mysterious, whoever it may be, the Alan
sure.
Watson article I really dug and the Randy Toussaint, you know, I mean, the guys that you know, amongst their peers are like, that's the man, that's the
iconic
guy.
Guys.
Yeah, but
yep.
But they're never the loud, pump their chest, like, you know, you don't hear. If a guy didn't know about, you know, wasn't really into it, you wouldn't even know about Alan Watson or Randy for that matter. You know, I mean, they're just
right.
Like amongst their peers are the best around, but they're just not the boisterous guys. It's so cool.
And
to
most of them have really interesting backstories that kind of fascinates
yeah.
me.
So
that's
yeah.
one of the
keep that going because as a reader, I love it.
We will absolutely. One of the great things to pursue is not to do a piece on a hero, but find out who that hero's hero is.
Oh.
And you know, with Brandon's in-depth knowledge, particularly inshore in Southern California, a lot of people defer to him as, you know, one of a small, tight handful of sea bass guys who really have it going on. Well, Brandon's go-to fellow, the guy he doffs his cap to and always told me, is this Alan Watson fellow. So for Brandon to get to hang out and interview Alan Watson and kind of take the shade away from him, I think was a good opportunity.
And no more kind of, what shall we say, secretive guy in the Catalina world than Alan Watson.
You know, it's always people are always like, I was doing it way before so and so, but whatever. But he really was.
Yeah. He really was.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what's cool about that
yeah,
article.
Totally.
It really goes in
great.
Depth for a guy that you just. I mean, I don't care how many times you rode the boat. You probably didn't learn much about him if
exactly.
you rode the boat 100 times.
Exactly.
You didn't learn what you learned in that article.
And he had such a pure way of doing things, like lining up off of landmarks, Pongero style.
Mm-hmm.
And he straight up said, like, you know, people thought it was only a small boat fishery. He's like, I would fishing when the Catalina sea bass thing came back around, I was putting my boat where I'd put an 80-footer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Speaking of Catalina fishery, you think it's going to happen this year?
There's not a lot of kelp there, and some of the best guys I know have fished there pretty hard for barely a sample, maybe one, zeros,
mm-hmm.
stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So if squid shoves in, it's going to be like in January 2nd, I caught a yellow right in front of San Clemente Pier. We've got a couple, but Wooly was on it first. That squid just got eaten. Like it shoved in to spawn and do its thing, and there was such a biomass of yellowtail, marine mammals, mac, just so much life in 61-degree water in the middle of winter just got straight gobbled up. So if squid pushes in there, it's going to get really good because you know how the ink is. When that gets in the water, everything lets its guard down. But
yep.
it also could be that we have such an incredible biomass of game fish that it just gets devoured or shoved out or something.
Sure.
Catalina beaches and kelp lines and stuff like that, I think that there's a gap in there that's somebody could figure out or someone could use past knowledge, e.g. Watson, and do really well there because there's not a lot of kelp. In fact, I go so far as to say there's almost no kelp.
No kelp.
You go into West Cove, it's like, whoa. You go into spots that the last name is kelp, slide kelp, suicide kelp.
Johnson's
there
Rock.
There is no kelp.
Kelp.
Yeah,
no
there's
kelp.
Just, there's a little, Johnson's probably has more than most spots.
No, does it?
So, yeah, I've been kind of wanting to go over there, but then I talked to buds who have been over there, like my friend who made bait and gave it to me and didn't get one, and good water conditions, but not the kelp and stuff like that to hold them. So
we'll see.
It'd be really fun to see that come back just for, you know, everybody has just developed the beach fishing so much, and just that is, you know, when you wanted to catch a big sea bass, that's what you did. You went coastal, you went to the beach, and it'd be cool to see the islands come back. Just to see the techniques, you know, counter each other and just watch that fishery come back again, and I think that we would all be better with it, you know.
Yeah.
More no doubt about it.
There's nothing like being tucked into some just beautiful spot at Catalina.
That's
and the watercolor.
That's what's so cool about Catalina.
Turquoise
pulling
water.
On a sea bass and a little turquoise bay.
Yep.
Hey, let's talk to Captain Mark Gillette, aboard the Eclipse. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How you doing this morning?
Doing great.
Morning.
How's it fishing?
Well, if you were on the Commander yesterday at San Clemente Island, it was pretty phenomenal. They had really good yellowtail fishing, very nice grade of yellowtail, and then they had really good calico bass fishing. Steve said that most of that fish is like 3 to 5 pounds on the calicos.
Wow.
You know, they're on day and a half trips. We've been running day and a half trips out of Long Beach sport fishing, and it's just nice because especially on Saturdays when you got all that boat traffic, come the afternoon, there's no boat traffic there left, and they were able to put, you know, another 50 yellowtail on the boat in the afternoon, so, you know, that was really good. They were catching calicos in the school. Yellowtail came into kelps, and he said it was every cast either caught a yellowtail or a calico.
Sweet. Man, how fun is that? So you're doing day-and-a-half trips out of Long Beach Sport Fishing.
Yeah, on the Commander, yeah. We do Friday night, Sunday night, and I want to say Wednesday night, and then we do one overnight trip a week on Tuesday nights. And that's when that trip gets out, it is a lot of fun. I usually go up there and go fishing. It's so much fun.
We know you like that calico fishing, Mark.
Oh, love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Well, if somebody wants to go aboard the Commander out of Long Beach, how do we do that?
They can just call Long Beach Sport Fishing, or they can just go right on Long Beach Sport Fishing's website there and book. And if they're looking to do a group charter, it's no better time to do a group charter, you know, prices, you know, Long Beach or, you know, island fishing are fairly affordable and as a whole, you know, compared to offshore fishing, and it's still a lot of fun.
Yeah. And when are you bringing the Commander back to San Diego?
Well, probably around the, you know, some tuna fishing down here gets really good. So we're going to try to kick that off next Thursday night. We have a 2.5 day on the Eclipse, so not quite sure where we're going to go. We do need some more folks on that trip to get that one off the dock. But 2.5 days, I mean, gives us 2 days to, you know, look around and scour the ocean a little bit.
All right, so it's going to be a light load, space available. How do we book that on the Eclipse?
Yeah, so eclipseportfishing.com. Book right online there.
All right. Captain Mark Gillette, Eclipse. We'll be looking forward to a report, catching tuna or whatever.
Well, hopefully on Saturday I got something good to report to you.
All right.
Good,
thanks,
Mark.
Nice to hear from you.
Thanks,
appreciate
guy. Have a good morning.
All right, well, let's jump right back into the phones. This time we're going to talk to Kevin, who's calling us from Carlsbad this morning. Kevin, good morning. Thanks for joining us here on Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, my question was, what would the cost be for the lobster charters, and what kind of timeline am I looking for as far as, you know, the trip?
Okay, so my default trip is, it depends on daylight savings, blah, blah, blah. My base price is $225 to go over to Catalina. If we do local, it's less, $195, and you know, it's usually like
that's per person, maximum of
four
per
person. But everything I do, especially if you do a charter, has some flex. So some guys like to get there early, and we fish.
Sometimes a lobster trap.
Yeah, exactly. Essentially, I mean, I get a lot of people. I get people who are like, I want to learn and come out. But I also get a big segment of people who either had their own boat and are over it because of the expense, had their own boat or got tired of not really catching, especially when it comes to sea bass. So mostly I get people that, like, don't have their own boat that want to experience private boat fishing. So I want to do whatever it is that they want to do that it all kind of jibes, you know. But my default price is $225. I'm not saying that it wouldn't go up next year for Catalina, just given fuel or whatever. It's hard to say, but that's the default. If you don't get a limit the first month or the last month of the season, you get another trip, a re-ride
Sweet.
For free. and that's it. But if you want to get a group together, I mean, I've had groups where they want to go hang out on the island for a weekend. They get a hotel room, cheap or not, hang out on the island, lobster, fish, whatever. Fun. I get the two-day permit sometimes and do that with a couple guys, yeah. Bring a crew member. So that's it. So essentially it's $225 a person. The price
and the best thing to do is just call you. And you'll plan a trip around their schedule. Do you have any open party trips? Like, let's say Kevin was solo.
Yeah, I do open parties, and usually, like, when Lobster was really going, I was getting some interest, you know, do one every other week or something like that. So, for sure, especially if you want to go, you don't have four guys, if you let me know in advance. I mean, this is way in advance now. I can put something in the books, and I have a good catalog of people now who I can kind of call and say, hey, do you want to go? I got a trip going. So yeah, that's kind of the gist of it.
Cool. All right. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning.
All right. Jumping back into the phones. Next up, we're going to talk to Doug. Calling us from Montebello. What's up, Doug? Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
I got kind of offbeat question or comment. If we were to start to stop shark fishing right now, how long would it take for the seal population to balance out?
I have no scientific knowledge, and I don't think it's a straight shark factor either.
Yeah. No.
We need to import some serious orca, great white sharkage would be rad.
But orcas would be, much
some
more.
Seal eaters.
Yeah, really good. Yeah, for sure. Hey, Doug.
Question that doesn't have an answer, Doug.
Way offbeat.
We
wish I knew.
We wish we knew because we could solve the problem.
Yep.
Which is only going to get worse.
Yep. I don't think 2 years ago everything was in balance because it was just straight shark eating seals all over. It's a confluence of a lot of things.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks a lot for the call.
Mario in Rancho Cucamonga, you're up next on Let's Talk Hookup. What's up, Mario?
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show. Brandon, big fan of yours. I've read all your books and really understand what you have to say about anchoring up. But my question is, when is it that you decide to drift for fish, and whether it's sea bass or yellows, what conditions and what situations would you prefer to drift?
It's going to be wind and current, and a lot of times, especially early morning, especially this time of year, semi-plagued by offshore winds in the morning. I think that's why I like to do a lot of afternoon trips, or I know you get a little bit of west wind, you start to get your downhill current, et cetera, but sometimes the fish are biting best in the morning or at night, and you have to deal with offshore winds. So my kind of default in the morning, if it's blowing offshore and it's a bait balls thing, or it's how it is now and the kelp's kind of not super thick, then I'll drift. If it's a generic zone, not a spot, I will drift. But if it's like a straight-up spot, like I always say, local fishing is about feet and yards. Offshore fishing is about miles and blocks. So sometimes you just got to anchor. And so you got to start thinking about, like, which way is the wind going? Which way is the current going? Where do I want the lines to go? And how am I going to set up? So it's like a lot of things. There's not a perfect answer for most things. But as a default, if it's a wide zone, I'm going to drift, especially if there's no other boats there. Dream situation. If it's a straight-up spot, I'm going to anchor. Hopefully that answers it.
All right. Very thanks well. A lot for the call this morning.
All right. How about next up, we talk to Brian, who's calling us from Chula Vista this morning. Brian, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Morning, boys.
Hi, Brian.
Morning.
Hey, I want to tell everybody that's listening, even though some of his books are getting harder to find now, I own all of them, and including the first two issues of The Bite.
Fantastic. Nice.
If you get his collected works, it's an encyclopedia of our fishery. It's amazing.
Good stuff.
Thanks
great
for that.
Job.
So my question, it was a big subject on yesterday's show because of the incident that happened last week. What is Brandon's preferred method for dealing with sea lions?
Good question.
Let's see. Well, the thing I like about where I fish along the coast is it's not plagued with seal like how La Jolla is and Catalina. So last year I only lost a couple fish to seal. When I do have to deal with them, like early season Clemente, I was fishing Clemente all winter, like when sport boats weren't running and there was the rockfish closure. So you're literally the only boat there. So you're just a seal magnet, you know, you're just getting messed with endlessly. I just drive at them. I just drive the boat right at them. When they get close, I slap the gaff in the water and look like a monkey, and I don't even know if it does anything. So there's only so much you can do. I don't have a paintball gun or any of that stuff. So that's it. I mean, you just gotta kind of take it. And sometimes it's nice when there's other boats around because it kind of spreads them out and does whatever, but I don't have a default kind of way of always dealing with them, but just driving the boat at them and making noise and going for it seems to work okay.
There you go. Thanks a lot for the call this morning.
Hey, when we come back, speaking of that body of work, somebody's going to be getting every issue of The Bite from here on out with that awesome lifetime subscription. We got to find out who that lucky winner is. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on The Mighty 1090.
XSRS 1090 AM, Rosarito, Baja California.
You're listening to the home of the Padres.
Oh my gosh, this club is playing fantastic baseball.
San Diego's sports leader, the Mighty 1090.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest it's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere. Alaska is one of the ultimate fishing destinations in the world. This is Rock Cod Rick, and every year the one trip I look forward to is Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. My dad and I have been going for over 15 years, and I just can't wait to go again. No one does it better than Kingfisher Charters. They offer the best service, the most comfortable accommodations, fantastic food, the finest fishing charter captains in all of Sitka, and the ultimate value. Sure, I've been to others, but time and time again, nobody beats Kingfisher Charters. You can catch huge halibut like the ones we do almost every year, and salmon, well, Sitka is famous for some of the best runs in Alaska. We also get plenty of rockfish and huge lingcod. And when it comes to fish processing, the best in Alaska is Kingfisher Charters. And listen to this, it's all included in your package. In fact, everything is included except the tips. It's truly amazing how the Kingfisher crew continues the quality of service they deliver year after year. Come and join me on the Let's Talk Hookup trip in June, or just go when you can. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727-6136, or check kingfishercharters.com.
Hey, this is Captain Paul Hebert from the Wicked Pisser. My brother Bruce and I make a living catching giant bluefin tuna. In fact, I wouldn't even go fishing with any other sunglasses than Maui Jim. Put a pair of Maui Jims on and instantly the glare is gone, the UV that can damage your eyes is gone, the ocean's true colors come shining through like never before. And with more contrast and clarity, you can see the bluefin at that critical time. Take it from me. Try a pair at your local tackle shop or check out MauiJim.com. You won't believe your eyes.
Great boats, free parking, and a fully stocked tackle shop. Just a few of the reasons Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top charter boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Eclipse, Apollo, Outer Limits, Pacific Star, Elgato Dos, Alexis, Pride, Privateer, Tribute, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half, three-quarter, and full-day trips available. Check out the full-service tackle store at Seaforth Sport Fishing. And it's all run by fishermen for fishermen. 1717 Quivira Road, just off Mission Bay Drive in Mission Bay. Book online at seaforthlanding.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. All right, the big winner of the lifetime subscription to that awesome Bite Journal is going to Craig in Vista. Craig, congratulations. You are so stoked.
Wow, that is so cool. And I'll tell you what, it's a great magazine, but you can't call it a magazine. What do you call it? A journal. Journal.
Call it a journal.
Okay.
More book than magazine.
More book than magazine, and I agree with that. If somebody wants to get a copy, get a subscription. You can't buy a lifetime subscription, but you never know. You can negotiate with me, right?
Yeah, no problem. Give me a call. TheBiteJournal.com. Bite is B-I-G-H-T, like the Southern California Bite.
Okay.
And if anyone's not online, I don't have a 1-800 number set up, but you could just call my cell, 949-212-0719.
Okay.
And, we'll get back to you.
And then, of course, for one-man charters, the same number?
Same number, and onemancharters.com.
One-man charters.
And if someone's interested in doing the sea bass thing, I'd definitely say try to get with me soon here. Cause,
like now?
Yeah, that would be a good time.
Yeah, absolutely. And Surfer's Journal, of course. Scott, you're a part of the Bite, too. But Surfer's Journal, a great journal in itself. How do we get a copy of the Surfer's
Journal? If there are any surfers in the listening audience, for sure, they might well be know about us. We've been around 25 years now, but it's surfersjournal.com.
All right. Thanks, Scott. Thanks
Brandon.
Awesome.
Look
forward to having you guys back.
Excellent.
Look forward to having you back with Rock Cod Rick next weekend. Next Saturday, Captain Tim Ekstrom from the Royal Star Hopefully I'll be calling you with a great report from someplace south aboard the Royal Star. And then next Sunday, don't forget, live from Day at the Docks with guys like Steve Carson and probably Buzz and all kinds of great people down there. It's going to be a real great variety show. And, of course, our Let's Talk Hookup booth will be down there, manned by our man Gary White, Dave Dolan, and the Codfather. So come on by. We'll have T-shirts and hats for you and a lot more. So thanks for listening today. We'll see you next weekend right back here on the Mighty 1090.